Let us continue with our study of the book of Obadiah. Our text today is taken from Obadiah verses 10 to 21. Obadiah verses 10 to 21. And I shall read it for you. Verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity, yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we mourn our cold-heartedness and complacency, our emptiness and poverty, our spiritual lethargy and prayerlessness. We repent of all these and ask you to cleanse us anew. May your Spirit reign supreme. May he be our comforter to strengthen and guide. May he be our sanctifier to make us wholly yours. May he be our teacher to instruct us in your truth. Oh, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit that our lives may glorify you, Father. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Last week, we have considered under Obadiah the pride of Petra, Roman numeral 1, an introduction to Obadiah. We have also seen letter A, the man, letter B, his times, and letter C, the book. We have also considered Roman numeral 2, the destruction of Edom predicted. By looking at letter A, the call to battle, verse 1. Letter B, the pride of Edom, verses 2 to 4. Letter C, the plundering of Edom, verses 5 to 7. And letter D, the slaughter of Edom, verses 8 to 9. And now Roman numeral 3, the crimes of Edom depicted. The crimes of Edom depicted. This is in Obadiah verses 10 to 14. The Associated Press reported on August 5, 1995, about a mother who was just a little too concerned for her son's career. She apparently wanted to give him a boost, help him to make some extra money. You see, her son worked for the United States Forest Service as a firefighter. As a seasonal firefighter, her son received a base salary but was paid extra for fighting fires. So his mother saw to it that he got to fight fires. According to investigators, this 60-year-old Mount Shasta woman had set 5 brush fires in the past year along a Northern California highway. She could get 20 years in jail for her maternal attempt to advance her son's career. Oh, by the way, her son no longer works for the Forest Service. Thanks, Mom! Perhaps there is a limit to how much we can and should do for our children. It is a crime to set brush fires. Similarly, in Obadiah verses 10 to 14, Obadiah lists the crimes of Edom against Israel. Letter A, the object of Edom's mistreatment. The object of Edom's mistreatment. Obadiah verse 10 is the key verse of the book. It clearly lays out the reasons for judgment. This verse reads, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." Obadiah mentioned the word brother and used the birth name of Jacob instead of the later name Israel to point out the heinous nature of Edom's crime. Violence is bad enough. Violence against one's own blood relatives is even worse. Not only do we have the object of Edom's mistreatment, we have letter B, a listing of Edom's evil deeds. A listing of Edom's evil deeds. This is in Obadiah verses 11 to 14. Edom was arrogant, but would be a captive people, covered with shame, and they would become extinct. The list of their wrongdoings is found in Obadiah verses 11 to 14. The verses read, "In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress." Edom was indifferent to the invasion of Judah. She stood on the other side, verse 11. She gloated over the children of Judah when their land was destroyed, verse 12. She spoke proudly. The idea in the original is something like she talked big. She spoke proudly when Israel was in distress. She joined in the looting of Jerusalem, verse 13. She blocked the escape of refugees and turned captives over to the enemy, verse 14. But why did Edom commit such deeds? Someone once said, "The thing that makes men and rivers crooked is following the lines of least resistance." What can we learn from Edom regarding how we treat our brothers and sisters, both blood relatives and in Christ? God's condemnation of Edom demonstrated God's hatred for rejoicing over the demise of others, particularly the demise of relatives. God expects believers to show love to all people, but particularly to their relatives and to each other. Regarding believers showing love to each other, it appears in the command in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." It also appears in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 also says, "Let brotherly love continue." What 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says is slightly different. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." The brotherly love mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 appears as the seventh link in the apostles' chain of graces. Peter tells us that we are to add to godliness brotherly kindness. When we say brotherly love, we are of course referring to brotherly and sisterly love. Roman numeral 4. The day of Edom's doom defined. The day of Edom's doom defined. Obadiah verses 15 to 16 reads, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. The reward shall return unto thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been." When I was speaking on the book of Joel, I highlighted that the day of the Lord may refer to a near judgment, or it may refer to the period of the end time judgments. The day of the Lord here refers to the period of the end time judgments, as shown in this diagram. Edom's judgment is an illustration of these end time judgments to fall on all nations, all the heathen, verse 15. In the intertestamental period, the Edomites were conquered by John Hyrcanus, a Jew of the Maccabean line. The Romans also conquered Idumea, a later name for Edom. The Romans also conquered Idumea, and the Idumeans ceased to exist as a nation. In the future, some Edomites will again populate their land, but they will be completely destroyed. We have to look ahead to verse 18. But that is not all. We will also see Roman numeral 5. The restoration of Israel. The restoration of Israel. Obadiah verses 17 to 21 reads, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. That is the complete destruction of Edom we were talking about. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And Saviour shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. For Edom will be destroyed, Israel will be restored. Verse 17. In the millennium, the Israelites in the south of Israel will occupy the land that had at one time belonged to Edom. Verse 19a. Those in the west will move into the land once held by the Philistines. Verse 19b. Those in Benjamin will expand across the Jordan into Gilead. Verse 19c. Those in the north will move into Zarephath, an ancient city between Tyre and Sidon in Lebanon, where Elijah was fed by the widow. The identity of Sepharad is unknown. Some think it is Spain, others a part of Asia Minor. Those from this area will settle in southern Israel. Is there all to it? Not quite. The borders will not stop there. The land God has promised for Abraham's seed will extend from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Genesis chapter 15 verse 18 says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The land God has promised for Abraham's seed will extend from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. By the way, these two rivers have already been represented by the two blue stripes on the Israeli flag. In that millennial day, judges, saviors in the KJV, judges from Jerusalem will administrate the land that had been Edom and will serve under the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom shall be the Lord's. An introduction to Obadiah. The destruction of Edom predicted, the crimes of Edom depicted, the day of Edom's doom defined, and the restoration of Israel. Over the doorway of a beautiful old house in Schaffhausen, Switzerland, there is inscribed in German from the 17th century, "This house is mine, and yet not mine. Life is short." Many times we are warned not to hold on too tightly to earthly possessions which will pass away. But Obadiah today in verse 17 speaks of the house of Jacob possessing their possessions. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. How can this apply to us? In a sermon on this verse entitled Possessing Possessions, Spurgeon had this to say: "Christ is mine, but beloved, who among us knows all that is ours in Christ? He is a casket which is all ours, but we do not open its doors and take out all its treasure. Our possessions in Christ are very wide, but we need to be bidden like Abraham to lift up our eyes to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west, that we may form a clearer idea of the goodly land which the Lord our God has given us. We see the blessings of the covenant, but do we feed on them as we might? Do we drink deep into them? And is our souls satisfied as with marrow and fatness? I fear we do not by enjoyment possess our possessions. Alas, with many believers, times of actual realization and enjoyment are rare. They can talk about the blessing, but they do not habitually rejoice in it themselves. Paul does not hesitate to remind the Ephesians of the unsearchable riches of Christ, which he preached among the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He could only do that with passion because he himself possessed his possessions in Christ. Oh, the riches of regeneration, justification, and sanctification in the believer. Have you really realized that they are precious possessions to be enjoyed in Christ? These possessions are ours, not just to contemplate, but to possess like the house of Jacob. Then our testimony as Christians will shine. Let us go to the Lord in prayer.